I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
WrestleMe Mark.
WrestleMe Pete.
We're back with more from WrestleMania 21.
I had quite the Twitter fun yesterday.
Oh, did you know?
Yeah.
Were you tweeting famous women?
If I am, it's none of your business. That's why I have ghost and burner accounts.
So you can write on like glamour models' pages, oh, looking good. Hey, baby.
Sexy lady number one. When you come to Bulgaria. I write a lot. There is actually a guy who does that on all of the like divas. Right. They're not divas anymore. The female superstars.
Yeah, yeah.
He does that a lot, and he's constantly going, I want to book you for my promotion.
No, no.
I think he's from the African continent.
Right, okay.
And he's continually sort of saying, I want to book you. And a few people at the start had gone, oh, okay, well, here's the details to send it. And he goes, oh, no. Just want to book you, you lovely lady. It's like, oh, God. But he's done it to everyone.
Good. I mean, where there's money.
A proper fan. Can you say that you bother them?
I was trying to think of a phrase, but all in my head was where there's muck, there's brass, which does not apply. Let's make that very clear when it comes to bookings. But all I'm saying is Vince McMahon, he is money.
Yeah.
When there's money.
You
want to
buy one of these?
Yeah. Just a part, just the legs. Okay.
I got a bronze of Stacey Keebler's ass and legs, just disembodied. You can have that. You can have a go on that for $15.
$10 if you want to fuck Booker T's eyeball.
It's his hand, absolutely useful. how many times did you climax? Five times. But I was on Twitter, and it was such a boring technical point that I then got really obsessed with.
Right,
and I remember reading a while ago, the whole period from 2005, which is this WrestleMania, all the way through to the end of 2007, the WWE had used a different method of filming all of their programmes.
Okay,
and basically, at the time, they were using the old, you know, film cameras. Mm. And then they'd gone digital.
Yes, okay.
And this was like a great leap forward. And they've always been, like a lot of sports and pornography, they've always been at the forefront of going, we will have new stuff. So they've been HD since 2008. And when HD came in and you could see it, it was madness. You'd sort of go, oh my God, look at all their horrible pores.
Yeah, look at that back knee.
Yeah, we're sweating and there's shit everywhere.
Bob Backlund's back knee should be like the Piper's Piper's Pit. Is it Piper's Pit? I forget what it's called now.
You've been drinking.
I feel really tired today. This 4-hour mega wrestling.
But this one is really, really murky and even on the network, it's just sort of bad quality. Mm. And it's not like a bad VHS where it's really fuzzy or anything.
Yeah.
It's just dark and sort of doesn't look good.
Oh, so the cameras just hadn't got there yet,
They went to digital, and the thing about digital is it cannot be upgraded in the same way that film can.
Right.
So if you have film, you can chuck it on. I know people don't care about this, but I've spent so long working out what it was.
It's like a low bandwidth JPEG compared to a RAW file on a camera.
Exactly.
So RAW gives you more scope to play with it.
Exactly.
Increase exposure and stuff. But
the old stuff, like your film thing, it was really good quality. When you broadcast it, it wasn't anything like that quality, but the quality was still there. Mm-hmm. When they went to digital, it was just a flat quality. Mm. And they've not been able to upgrade it in the same way as they've done film. So from 2005 all the way through to 2008, the quality of stuff is crap. Mm. And it's a funny thing because they don't really concentrate on this part of their history very much. And it's because it looks like a bit shit.
Yeah,
and this is really murky and grubby and dirty. It reminded me of when we first got like wrestling online and you could click on a little window and it would stream quite badly.
Mm. From Real Player.
Exactly that. Well, exactly
I think this is a webcast. I think this is one of the first webcasts they did where they where they broadcast the whole WrestleMania over the internet. So
God, that'd be thrilling. That'd be thrilling.
There must be an old computer somewhere that has some actual cached data from that date streamed into their hard drive, because obviously like Real Player and stuff would cache things, they'd keep bits of data there, so they could, if you wanted to scrub back and forth on the timeline.
Do you think that must be the WWE keep computers for more than 3 years, or do you think that every 3 years they are gathered up and they are shredded just in case?
I'm thinking of the people who actually downloaded it, so that's all I'm thinking. I don't know. Interesting.
Is it?
No, God no. But I love this
like
side of
obsolete
things.
Tech.
I love this side
obsolete
of things.
Obsolete tech.
I watched, somebody came in, I was doing an Absolute Radio show and yesterday, and Pete, what are you watching? And I was watching a man upgrading a video processing server for his video editing computer company. And it was just him going, yeah, so I've put this processor in. It's got a few more cores than the other. Why do I care? I don't have a video company. I don't know how to edit anything. It's just awful. I watch a lockpicking lawyer who's a lawyer who does lockpicking. I watch umpteen reviews of graphics cards from 2003. This is my era of like learning about graphics cards. It's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Four stars. Talking about. I don't even know.
We got to 500, or you rather got to 500 reviews.
I did.
You cajoled people into.
Yeah, that was disgusting. Apologies, everyone. I really laid that on thick. Hey, it really worked.
Yeah,
really worked. Jokes. Yeah, we're coming up to 600. Nice to get there, actually, guys.
Get involved, guys. 1,000.
We go to our next match, which is we're on match two, show two.
Yeah.
Sorry about the time you've wasted. Money in the Bank.
It's Money in the Bank.
Ladder match.
Yes.
Thrilling.
It was very, very good. Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider's watching.
Yes,
if
they
I could
are.
Choose two people from the world of Hollywood as wrestling fans, it would definitely be those two. Definitely be
I
those
know
two.
A very, very funny story about Adam Sandler.
Okay.
I mean, there's no way I can even tell it on here.
Oh, wow.
It's regarding creative accounting. What's Jack and Jill? Is all I'm saying.
Right.
Now, in a film, Jack and Jill, right, you'd imagine, again, not close to doing match two. In Jack and Jill, where he plays his character and a female version of his character, i.e. the sister.
Okay.
Making this more complex than it needs to be.
Two paychecks.
Adam Sandler plays a man and a woman.
Hmm.
Now, it was made by his company.
Right.
You know the one thing that obviously you're going to do is you're going to have a shot, aren't you, where both of them are there to show that you've paid that money.
Yeah.
No, that shot never comes. You
oh,
only
really?
Ever see them in singles, yeah. look, this has got to stop now because look, all I'm saying is if you come to the live show at King's Place, right, I will invariably
Jack
tell
and
that
Jill
story.
Okay, well, okay, I'll write that down.
It's tied into WrestleMania 21.
Is it?
Yeah, because he was there.
Oh.
No, that's it. That's the tangent. I'm trying to claw it back.
Right.
Money in the Bank.
Which is what Adam Sandler had at the end of the of Jack and Jill, it seems.
Yeah, it's all to do with the fact that they didn't actually spend the money that came in.
Oh.
Money in the Bank.
I thought Kane was monstrously deformed, Mark.
Yes.
Why? The unmasks and he just looks like a normal guy with crazy eyes.
Have you seen him unmasked before? Did he unmask in 2004?
I don't think he was unmasked in 2004. I want to say that this is the first time I've ever seen him unmasked.
Ah. Well, they did a bit with Triple H, I think, unifying some belts at a pay-per-view with Kane. And he ended up sort of losing his belts. Do you know what? I can't even remember if that feeds into what happens. He takes his mask off, basically, is what happens. His mask
this
comes off.
This is my face.
And when they first showed him on the television, they had him sort of, he was wearing sort of almost like burnt cork on his face.
Yeah.
And they used a weird sort of filter on the camera to distort and stretch the whole thing. But then they obviously sort of went, well, back to ourselves into a corner there, because primarily what this is a live business.
Steve, can you do that on digital? No, God, no.
Can we get glasses for everyone with this built in? No, we cannot. Out he comes. They slowly undeformed him.
All right, they never
in the space of about 7 days. They're a bit like, oh, he's getting better.
Oh, he's getting better. better.
Just need
it turns out it was the mask. Yeah, it turns out the mask.
Much too tight. You want to get in one like Rey Mysterio has that flops off
like an
airy. Like a piece of fabric. Money in the Bank was devised by Chris Jericho. And he basically had come up to this WrestleMania and he realised he didn't really have a programme that he was in. And they wanted a way of doing a match that got some of the big stars a payday and, you know, got focused on. And so Jericho had come up with this idea of a multi-participant ladder match.
Right.
At the same time, a writer called Brian Gewirtz, who was working on Raw, he'd come up with an idea called a Hollywood Dream Ladder Match. And it was a multiple wrestler one again. And the idea would be that whoever won that match would get whatever they wanted. And Vince McMahon was like, that whatever they want is too generic.
Yeah.
It's too broad. So Brian Gewirtz had said, well, let's do that. Then you get a future match whenever they want for the title.
Yeah.
And McMahon said, yes, that's good, but let's have them carry that contract in a briefcase at all times, and then it becomes a storyline that runs and runs.
Right, okay.
So together, all of them come up with this idea. Jericho is given credit for it, even though when I tell that story about who did what, he seems to have done the least in it. But even on this one, when he's coming down to the ring, JR just goes, Chris Jericho as the man there who had the idea for this match.
Oh.
A strange thing to see, because the business that we work in, it's unusual to see like your idea when you get it onto television with people to go, that was your idea.
That was fucking Kenza's joke.
All the time you do it, when it goes well, they just go, yes, I did that.
Who's accepting the award at the British Television Awards? I guess nobody's handing out awards for anything in wrestling apart from inter wrestling
company
belts.
If this had been happening in the proper world of television, where an idea of yours had made it to TV, Jim Ross would have said, and here comes Chris Jericho, who's an associate producer.
Yes. Never a writer. Never a writer. Mark, how many times in your career as a writer that writes everything have you ever been billed as writer than associate
it
producer?
It stopped in actually around 2005.
Really?
Exactly at this point.
Ah, money out the bank.
Yeah. Everyone had watched this and they'd said, I didn't like the way that Chris Jericho got credit for his idea. We'll change that. The Hollywood Dream Match idea, where they'd get whatever they wanted. The reason they'd come up with that being
don't
so
ask
generic.
A wrestler that, my God. My God.
Every one of them would just say, I just want to go home for 2 weeks, just see my family, and just heal up.
I just want to heal. Stop taking these syringes. I want Eddie Guerrero to get for my kid.
The idea was Rob Van Dam had been out injured. And the idea would be that he would win this match and he would say, I want ECW to return. ECW was Paul Heyman's very sort of, not really outlaw federation, but it was very much, it was extreme. So it had lots of violence, it had lots of weapons, but it also had some of the best technical wrestling matches in the world. And what had happened in this period, ECW has been gone for quite a long time now. I think it shuts down in about 2001. And they noticed that people still chant ECW at the people who used to be in ECW, and when matches sort of turn a bit hardcore and they're enjoying them, people would chant ECW.
Right.
So they began to think, shall we bring it back? And they do bring it back, and they bring it back later in the year. And this match was supposed to be the way that they were going to get into that. RVD is injured, plans change. And they bring it back in a couple of months away from here, in mid-2005, on a thing called One Night Stand. And that is one of the great pay-per-views of all time. Not really for the matches, but for the reaction of the crowd. It's right. One of those pay-per-views that the crowd is the star in. And after we finish WrestleMania 21, we'll be doing ECW One Night Stand before we go on to WrestleMania 22.
Oh, lovely old job.
Worth seeing.
Yeah.
Some of the bits in this match are really, really funny. The match itself is fantastic.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable.
It's for the time, state of the art. It's like a spot fest, but at the same time, it's got a lot of really, really good, just well thought through character bits. Shelton Benjamin is fantastic, and just they really dropped the ball on Shelton Benjamin. He was a regular participant in the Money in the Bank match, and for about 4 years straight he provided the highlight in every single one of them, just with this unique athleticism.
He flips off the top turnbuckle followed by Kane, you go, or the big red machine, or
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
and he was fantastic. I really enjoyed him.
There's a bit where he runs up a ladder, which has been lent against another one to get to the top. And the crowd just go nuts. You've never seen anything like it. These matches, the problem with Money in the Bank matches, are the same as Hell in the Cell. So the original Hell in the Cell matches where they have, you know, by the time it comes to Cactus Jack being thrown off the top of it, they're very hard to top the next year. And people have a certain thing of going, it was so incredible that one, but what's this one going to be like? It's going to be even more mad. And you get that with Money in the Bank, where it's this first one, they are just throwing each other off the top of ladders.
Yeah.
There's a bit where Christian comes off a ladder and he lands really hard with Chris Benoit. They thump. And it's one of the few times you see a wrestler in the ring not go, oh, ow, oh, God. Christian just hits the floor and he grabs his arm and he just goes,
Well, he just, I think it's him that does one where he jumps off a ladder onto Benoit again, I think. After Benoit's climbed the ladder and done a kind of thing. Which, obviously. Yeah.
He does his flying headbutt onto Kane on that bit off
that's
the ladder.
Yes.
And splits his stitches open.
That looked bloody horrible.
It did.
Because it didn't connect with him.
It didn't connect with him, but I tell you what, those flying headbutts are a fantastically quick and simple way to give yourself a concussion.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came up in Benoit's autopsy is that he had a huge number of repeat concussions that had really badly affected and damaged his brain.
I like that in this ladder match, they didn't, you know, ladder matches where they just take ages to climb up?
Yeah.
Like they've been running around.
Yeah.
And suddenly, oh, I'm so tired.
Plodding.
I'm so tired. I got this ladder. Oh,
the air is so thin. I'm weak.
Yeah, it is. This one, they go 100 miles an hour the whole way through.
Yeah.
And the crowd, the reaction the crowd give it is so brilliant. I do remember watching this match and just thinking, God, I mean, we're in a golden era here.
That was wonderful.
This was everyone was so physical and so sort of, it just seemed like there was no ceiling on what you could see within a match.
Yeah.
And this was just absolutely incredible.
Intense.
One of my favourite bits in it, which you will not have noticed, but in the opening bit, everyone comes out. And this is at a period where Vince McMahon has decided that good guys can't come from Canada, right? A mad decision. But he had a basic thing of going, we're an American company. These people live and work primarily in America. If they're good guys, then they should be American. And if they're bad guys, they can still be Canadian. This match, only Shelton Benjamin and Kane aren't from Canada. Right? So it's really apparent. So Chris Jericho, they introduced him by saying, born and raised in New York. You know, no one's ever had born and raised before where they come from. Born and raised in New York. He's also got fucking brilliant hair in this, by the way. Looks like healthy Kurt Cobain. Chris Benoit, he is now from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, they just moved him around now.
Yeah, right, okay. He's no longer the Canadian crippler.
Right.
It's just so mad when you do this. Christian.
Oh, I'm sure Atlanta will be claiming him.
Christian, who's a bad guy, they don't even mention where he's from. They just go, and Christian.
Well, that is the problem, because he's got quite a formal... People have that name.
Yeah.
So I've never got on with Christian, really, because when you said you had a literal dream match,
yeah,
and you had a dream that you were wrestling Christian at WrestleMania or whatever, and it was like a slightly underwhelming dream,
yeah.
His name just doesn't resonate for me,
no,
Christian.
It sticks with this when they were the Brood, Edge, Christian, and Gangrel. But neither of those three names have anything in common anyway.
No.
It's not like a thing where you go, I can see why they called
them.
Yeah,
they weren't named after like disciples or anything.
Yeah.
It was just like
Edge, Christian and Gangrel. There is no overlap.
Oh, Gangrel's meatballs. Was it Gangrel's meatballs?
Gangrel is copyright of Ukes. Thank you very much. When you used to play the PlayStation WWE games, that would be one thing that came up and it would sort of say, THQ, it's in the game, whatever it would be. EA Sports, that was.
Activision,
yeah. And then there'd be one of the loading screens would just say, Gangrel is property of Ukes or White Wolf Creations,
right,
LLC.
Okay, yeah.
And it was a thing about... I think someone did explain this to me on Twitter after we'd mentioned it on the podcast before, but it was owned by a company and that some reason the WWE leased it.
Just come it was up, such a good idea, Gangrel.
Well, we can't live without that name.
We'll have to license that.
Because if we don't get Gangrel, it makes no sense of Edge and Christian.
They must have been so annoyed about that. Like, that must have really rankled with Vince, the whole Hulk Hogan having to give a load of money to Marvel every time. Like, you know, it's just, they must have been like, why did we choose? Why were we so stupid?
We used to be like on the ropes, and now we're doing well. I'm annoyed about this deal I've signed.
We should be punching upwards. This used to be. This is. Oh, I don't know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Yep. It is time for the first ever sumo match. We're going to send it up to our ring announcer, Tony Chimmel.
I like it as well, where Kane, as he comes in, they just set a load of ladders on fire behind him. And as the match goes on, occasionally you can catch a glimpse of them. No one puts them out. They're just like burning ladders. JR, Christian there, eating more ladders than... And he goes, I don't know where to go next to this. Than the law should allow.
Than the law should allow. Is that what we went for? Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah. I must have missed that one.
The law doesn't allow you, per se, to eat at ladders. No one's worked out legislation that incorporates your consumption of ladders.
I'm trying to think who actually would. Roy Castle on the Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah, I mean, he was the host. He didn't have to break all the records himself.
Yeah, but he would probably allow a man to eat, the man who comes on and eats an aeroplane.
You're right. Norris McWhirter, isn't
Norris
it?
Norris McWhirter.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Which was it Ross? Yeah. Which one was shot the dart by the IRA?
That was Ross, although I think they both shared similar as twins right-wing politics.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so he should have said, Christian eating more ladder than Norris McWhirter would allow.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense.
Under his role as the adjudicator on the great, why am I thinking Great British Bake Off? The Guinness World Records.
But Norris McWhirter would never not allow you to eat ladders, because he'd be like, well, this is a world record attempt. Keep going.
Good point. If anything, he would make you eat more ladders.
Dear Jim Ross, re-WrestleMania 21, brackets 2005.
These are letters we should be writing in.
I enclosed the Wikipedia article on Norris McWhirter. I printed out Ross, cross out Ross.
Under drawing of the valet.
Please don't let this be intercepted by American customs. I imagine it's some kind of misdemeanor. Oh, but yes, what a thrilling match.
That was wonderful.
Everyone is great in this. And you also see what you see here is Edge finally making the transition to being a bona fide main eventer. Mm. And he does that by being a bad guy. One of those funny things, it's easier to be a bad guy in wrestling than it is a good guy.
Yeah.
Because a good guy is boring and has to do the right thing, whereas a bad guy can do anything and it's all up to you and you can go sort of totally over the top with it. Interestingly, in this WrestleMania, Randy Orton, he's a bad guy in his match against The Undertaker. He'd spent the previous year as a good guy and it was a disaster.
Well, I thought he would come on to it, but he's so much better as a bad guy because he's got quite an evil face.
He's a little shit, isn't he? There's something about him that he's just an arrogant, cocky little shit.
He's Johnny Football Hero, isn't he?
Yeah.
Johnny, he is Josh Hartnett.
He's Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah, and handsome, muscular.
Yeah, ooh, and he's like one of those guys who'd be in one of those documentaries that I watched recently about consent on American campuses. They'd be going through his phone, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, he has not been involved in any of that. Let's make that very clear.
No,
but
no,
he's
not.
The sort of... He's got the sort of aesthetic.
It's the look, isn't
the
it?
The bra.
It's also...
The chad.
It is.
We're two incels talking about chads. Chads and what do they call women who go out with chads? Chads are like the muscular men who are conventionally attractive.
Yeah.
And you're the man in the basement I'm playing rugby.
I hate these guys.
I'm going to play Fortnite for a bit. Masturbate to 4chan. But they call... Is it Sheila's? I can't remember. But chads are the Johnny Football Heroes that they rally against.
Uh-huh.
And the Sophies or the something, the women who go out with the chads that never give the young men with terrible BO and Cheetos dust.
If you're a really attractive woman, buy a ticket for our show, please.
Why do you want to go to the other shows with the attractive men? Why can't you give good guys a chance?
Yeah. Oh, no. You've got to sit there going
you
to
fucking
your...
fucking bitch.
Going to see your Richard Herring.
I'm sorry.
Your alphas.
The good boy. The alphas.
The doughboys are on, I see. Oh, you'll be wanting to see that, won't you?
All of the incels, they always sort of go, why won't they go with a nice guy like me? So, it's because you call him a bitch at the end of it. You fucking bitch. You fucking...
Let's talk about Eugene.
Mark, he's a new chap.
He's
a new chap. I was watching this and I thought, is this okay? And then 2 minutes later, I'm like... Wasn't the worst thing I saw in this bit.
No, it isn't. Eugene is one of those things. This is not a... gimmick if you are a wrestler that you particularly want to get.
No.
Because are you going to be the next Hulk Hogan?
Probably not.
What you're going to be is you're going to be the kid's favourite.
Right.
It's a little bit like Doink in that respect. And until you go bad, then you can't really do very much with it other than be nice.
So is he like a little Nicky kind of disabled boy, basically? He's a disabled boy, Mark.
He is.
There's no two ways about it.
He is a bearded little boy with learning difficulties. That is it. Now, the hard thing about this is Nick Dinsmore, who's the guy who portrayed the moving character of Eugene, he was regarded as being one of the very best technical wrestlers in the world at that time. And he really sort of had unlimited upside.
That sucks.
And they gave him this gimmick. And the weird thing is, of course, is this is a gimmick. This is a man essentially pretending to be a... I mean, what is he?
Well, the thing, it doesn't allow him to do any fucking wrestling. That's the problem.
No.
Really?
Slightly the gimmick was he was very, very good in the ring.
Mm.
And so he'd team with William Regal or he'd, you know, have those matches where he'd suddenly be great and technically really proficient.
Right, okay, yeah.
And that was a sort of, that's right. Don't underestimate the
disabled boy.
The outside,
the disabled boy.
You judged him, didn't you? You judged this bearded little man who is... twiddling his hands in a funny way and singing nursery rhymes.
Interesting.
But it turns out
romper suit.
He's actually good at technical wrestling.
Which is the dream.
More for
which
you.
Which is the dream.
He did this gimmick as well as it could have been done. But,
no.
But, I mean, just
technically a good performance.
I suppose they were thinking something for the kiddies, but,
right.
I mean, was that the best thing to... I don't know. To say that...
This is still 2005, I guess.
Yeah, to say that, like, you know, simple-minded bearded men... are your friends. I don't feel comfortable with that.
Well, I sent a screenshot of... as soon as I saw Eugene, I was like, what the fuck is this? And I sent it to my friend Craig, and he sent me the following quote. On the June 29th recording of SmackDown, Eugene debuted for the brand, losing to the great Carly.
What
a debut! And he went, that's a match I never thought I'd want to watch. And then he sent me a link to it and said, that's a match I will never want to watch. And then he sent me a link and goes, only 4 minutes. Honestly, watch it. Eugene comes out and he goes, and then the great Carly comes out and he picks him up once, throws him to the floor, picks him up again, throws him to the floor, and then just puts a foot on his chest.
This is the thing where I didn't really know that bit. And I thought, I can see what they're doing. They're trying to appeal to the kids and then you've got this good gimmick. But what you've just said is that when they first introduce him, they go, yeah, the gimmick's fucking crap. Just have him monstered. Carly.
1 minute. 1 minute that lasted.
Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, the nice thing is you sort of go, is this uncomfortable? Is it not? Is it walking a line? And then you go, actually, I feel okay with this. This isn't going horribly. Mm. The audience are also being very well behaved. They were always really well behaved around Eugene.
Oh, really?
Funny thing, audiences never really sort of started going, you know, I'm not going to do the noise.
No.
We all know the noise.
We all know the noise.
No one started doing that.
Even in the Juggalo Championship Wrestling he joined in October 2007.
I should imagine he had a rough time.
Of course he ended up in Juggalo Championship Wrestling, the Insane Clown Posse related Juggalo Championship Wrestling company.
Have you been watching a lot of, I'm about to call him Ultra Human, Superhuman, is he?
No.
He's the little lad who will dive through barbed wire for all the Juggalos and Juggalettes.
Yes. Yeah, I think you might have sent me that. He's a lot of fun, that lad.
He is. I'm really pleased to see he's doing a storming line of merchandise as well. Right. He is absolutely found an audience, and he is milking it, and God bless him. Marvellous stuff.
forgot about him. Brilliant.
As soon as you begin to go, okay, I do actually feel like this is on safer ground, because this is being handled okay, out comes Mohammed Hassan and Davari. We've talked about Mohammed Hassan before at the end of the episode we did about the September the 11th, 2001 SmackDown. Mm. So we have actually been over Mohammed Hassan, so we won't get into all of that.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of little updates on him. Mohammed Hassan, his real name is Mark Capani.
Yes.
He is an Italian-American, hence in this bit he speaks English.
Muslim and, terrorist.
Yeah. Normally, in this bit, you'd have the guy who is with you in the ring, who's your sidekick, in this case, Davari. Davari would be the guy who's translating for you.
And you would be speaking Arabic.
That's the way it's always worked. But of course, because he's Italian-American and not Arabic at all, not from the Middle East, he can't speak Arabic. So they've got a mouthpiece who is talking in Arabic. And so it's a total sort of reversal of it. I mean, all I hope is that Davari, in whichever language he's speaking, is just saying, if you can understand me now, I'm really sorry about this.
Context is everything.
And this
history
is misguided.
History will not judge us well.
It's misguided, but I reckon we can turn it around and foster better relations. Now, back to the offensive bit.
Back to watching a Muslim terrorist grabbing a disabled boy's neck and pretending to slash it.
Yes, he is,
AKA, like all of the ISIS videos.
Yes. If only Hulk Hogan had been able to be para-dropped, is that a thing? Into ISIS heartland, because out he comes and saves the day.
Yeah.
He cannot do a leg drop, which is the thing the audience are very much waiting for. So he comes out, throws them about, does his big boot, his hips are shot. He cannot do a leg drop. So it's a weird thing where they're sort of going, hey, he's done the big boot, you know what comes next? Oh, he's throwing him out. Hey, he's got the other one. He's throwing him in the thing, big boot, you know what? He's throwing him out as well. Okay. Great.
Is he going to do it on Eugene?
Doesn't quite happen. Hulk Hogan had been put into the Hall of Fame the night before.
we'll talk
about that. They show a little bit of that at the end.
And he was still out. Still drinking.
Mark Capani, who was the guy who played Mohammed Hassan, he did fall out of wrestling.
Right.
You know, who can blame him? Watching that back, I'd totally forgotten that this bit happened.
Yeah.
And I did think, at least, you know, for going through this horrible thing that he went through, which has been given this character that was a lightning rod for controversy, and then when, you know, the UPN and the TV networks began saying, we do not want this character on, they just sort of went, oh, you're fired. You know, not our problem anymore. Mm. So I felt for him, but he did get out of wrestling, you can understand why, and he is now, it was announced last week, it sort of came up in a news thing, he's now a junior high school principal in New York.
Of course he is.
There's a quote from him. He said, it's going to be a lot of work, but I can't wait to be able to work with my staff to motivate students to be the best version of themselves. If they don't, I will behead them, just like I did with Man Boy Eugene. He didn't say the last bit. He didn't say
my
the last
record
bit.
With children's with learning disabilities is second to none.
I can just see that thing last week where they went, congratulations, we'd like to offer you the job. And Mark Capani would have been thinking, please God, don't let the door go now and someone go, wait a minute, watch this DVD.
It won't be on any DVDs.
No.
He also wrote some graphic novels as well. He won a couple of awards.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it was called a graphic novel he wrote with Shad Gaspard of Crime Time, Assassin's Son.
Yeah.
Won several awards for Best Original Independent Graphic Novel.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm glad for him because I did watch this bit and I think, you know, he did have that terrible time. Mm. But I'd forgotten this bit and he can actually say, I was in the ring with Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, and I had that key thing. And actually, I was thinking, would I, if they said to me, right, you've
would
got...
Would you take that?
Yeah, would I have taken it then? And knowing that they went, but at the end of it, you get beaten up by Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania. I think I'd have probably gone, do you know what? It would be a terrible year. But yes, I'll take that. I will take that. So well done. They can never take that away from him.
And then Hogan rips his shirt off.
Yeah, yeah.
He's never got a hem to any of his shirts, so they're easy to tear. I want to see him tear one with a hem.
Have you ever tried as a child to do the Hulk Hogan thing?
No.
The hem doesn't rip.
No, right? No, structural integrity.
So when you pull it, you'll sort of go, oh God, it's not ripping, so I'm going to go for the lower bit. And then you get your fingers in that, and that does rip, and that's great. But then you're left with this...
with a choker.
It looks like a sort of shit cape. Yeah, with a really thin bit. We'll talk about Hogan when we get to the Hall of Fame But JR, at one point, they're trying to say why Muhammad Hassan's not on WrestleMania. Right. And they've set it up that he didn't want to wrestle. JR says, he's not wrestling at WrestleMania because he's all worried about racism. Oh, these terrorists. Oh. What will their next demands be? And I really thought, well, this hasn't worked out well. If you're all worried about WrestleMania, I won't wrestle. And oh, now I'm in the fucking ring with Hulk Hogan. This is no good. Hulk Hogan, of course, people will say, oh, he wasn't racist. Hulk Hogan himself admitted being a racist to a point. After his sex tape was leaked. It's unfair to call it a sex tape. A recording of him engaging in sex with a friend's wife was leaked.
And after some spaghetti. I think he'd eaten some spaghetti.
That's
and he
right.
His stomach going, I ate too much.
He expressed disgust with the notion of his daughter being with any black man, and he repeatedly used a racial slur. What's interesting, apart from the fact that all of that story is interesting, is that he was in the Hall of Fame this year, 2005. Mm. When that happened, they actually took him out of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He wasn't reinstated again until 2018. So he would be in the Hall of Fame until 2015, and then he'd have 3 years on the wilderness until they felt that he had made enough public apologies and learnt his lesson. Something which is worth saying, a number of the African-American wrestlers in the WWE's locker room in 2018 did not feel that he'd done.
No, I don't really buy it either, to be honest, Mark. African-American or not.
Racist up to a point.
Hogan's family hangs out with David Arquette, and obviously he...
They don't reference David Arquette, do they?
I don't think they do. I think they sort of flash past. I'm like, is that David Arquette?
Yeah.
Is this David Arquette just hanging out?
There's a really odd thing where they show like Adam Sandler and that horrible bloke who's
Schneider.
And then they show someone from CSI or whatever.
Yes!
You know.
That was so weird.
David Arquette is not just a bigger name than everyone there but Sandler. But David Arquette was the former WCW world champion in 2000. Okay. And basically, I think they look at that period.
Then, is it? Right.
They look at that period as being so embarrassing that they refuse to even go, it's David Arquette.
Yeah.
Now, David Arquette seems really nice. He loves wrestling. He still does wrestling. You know, he's done some recently.
He shocked the world with some garbage wrestling, didn't he?
With Nick Gage,
What's going on?
Yeah.
There's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
That was unfortunate. He did get a horrible nick in his neck. But he clearly loves wrestling. And when he was involved with WCW made a movie called Ready to Rumble in 2000, which he was in. And as part of it, they ended up giving him the WCW world title in about 2000. Okay. Now, he is a big wrestling fan. He was excited to get the belt, but at the same time, he realised, you know, this was very unpopular. If he was a fan, he wouldn't have liked it. What he did was, without telling anyone, it only came out many years later, was all of the money that he'd earned from WCW during that run, he had given to the families of Brian Pillman and Owen Hart, who had died in, I think, 1999.
Right.
So a thoroughly good guy, a guy who loves wrestling. He's mentioned before he'd love to be in the Royal Rumble. I think he was mentioning it this year, saying, I would love to be in the Royal Rumble. It'd be great, you know, it'd be really nice. And WWE obviously resent the fact that he had this belt that Triple H wants and likes. And they just, they it's really odd to say there's all of Hogan's family and they just ignore David Arquette. I think that is one of the, it's going to be like a Macho Man thing where they refuse to ever deal with him for reasons that will never be entirely clear.
Interesting. I was chatting to Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins over
who
the
weekend. Was also at this WrestleMania. They
was
didn't
he?
Show him on the screen.
Did they
yeah.
not? Ah, no. Well, he ventured. I said, I've since we last spoke, Billy, I've started watching a bit of wrestling. Oh, you caught the bug. Caught the bug, man. And I was, let yes, hepatitis. Just...
well, wait till we get the Undertaker, Randy Orton. We will be talking about Hep C.
Oh, okay.
It's worth saying Billy Corgan has invested a lot of money in
huge
a
amounts.
Lot of different wrestling things that have never quite taken off.
No.
So, Billy, if you're listening... and you want to sink some more money into
I should have asked him. Well, he was sort of like talking about. I asked him whether he'd seen any of the is it AEW the
yeah.
Cody Rhodes
stuff and the Young
and
Bucks.
He was and he gave us some choice. I'll try and stick it on the end of a podcast at some point. But he gave us some choice quotes, slightly barbed. We worked with him at NWA and a couple of other things. We worked with him. I'm pleased how he has managed to. Reimagine himself as like a businessman and stuff, which sounded a little barbed.
Well, I mean, it's a bit funny when you're sort of going, you're not welcome into our business community when you used to be in the Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, you've got to be allowed to do different things from time to time.
But you wished him all the best.
You know, I'm not a baby anymore.
That sounds like an amazing catchphrase for a child wrestler you could do. I'm not a baby anymore. Instantly knocked over by the Great Khali. Straight
new
dustbin.
Eugene.
Eugene 2. Eugene Toombs. Eugene Toombs from The X-Files.
Eugene 2. Eugene. I ain't no baby anymore.
Well, when Eugene went to the Juggalo Championship Wrestling, he rebranded as Eugene, but it was like U-Haul, U-Gene.
Do you know what? I don't think that the name Eugene has as much currency as Eugene believes it does.
No, you're right. But he's still got the costumes and you're going to fucking wear them.
Yeah.
But Billy Cogs said, he wishes him all the best. And he knows how hard it is to have a company.
Well, he's
tanked enough for them.
He certainly made it look hard, hasn't he? astonishing. Right, don't forget, we have our live show at King's Place. That's taking place in September. It's WrestleMe 2, and we'll be taking about SummerSlam 1991. So if you'd like to get tickets, kingsplace.co.uk.
And I'll be dressed as Eugene. Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.